Hey, sports fans, it's world champion Andy Gepper, Mike North. Punch this number in your phone right now. If you're driving, pull over. 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419 for a free pick and info for the premier handicapping site in the country, Vegas Scores and Odds.com. It's the only site you'll ever need with expert handicappers like John Anthony, Denny Macklin, Tony Sacco, Ray Monahan, yours truly, and many more. Check out the homepage of VegasScoresandOdds.com for a tote board with your buddy. Follow Vegas Scores and Odds on Twitter and dial up 1-800-808-3419. It's 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419. Or go to VegasScoresandOdds.com.
What follows is for news and entertainment purposes only. Any use of the forthcoming information in violation of any federal, state, or local law is prohibited. Mike North, you are on fire.
You know anybody else that good?
No.
No, they'll tell you they are. They may think they are, but we're documented every single week. The eye is on us.
That's
and I
right.
ain't talking about the eye of CBS, the public eye. The first feeling I got when I won a bet was elation. The worst feeling was when I lost a bet and I wanted to jump off a balcony.
Give me a quick betting tip.
Yeah, do win and don't lose, but usually it doesn't always work out that way. How many times you heard this? I'm going to Vegas. I go, how'd you do? Well, if I lost $4,000, but you know, you go there to have fun. No, you go there to win. And that's what's wrong with people. They have the negative mentality in anything they do, including sports, before you even laid the bet down. So you got to be positive. Vegas Scores and Odds is the landing place that gave me an opportunity to handicap. They let me show what I could do. And there's packages, there's free picks. What does Vegas Scores and Odds do when you perform? They reward you and they take care of you. And that's why we're ready to do this show.
The Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now. That's right, Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now. I am Aldo Gandia, Mike's wingman. Did you see the fight on Saturday night? Tyson Fury dominated Deontay Wilder. How did he do it? Did Wilder's camp throw in the towel too quickly? And where does this rank among heavyweight championship fights for Mike North? He's seen quite a few of them. XFL attendance is up, but what does Mike think about the quality of play and is it worth betting on? Cubs and White Sox have begun spring training play, and I'd like to go over with Mike the projected starting lineups for both teams. Do a little comparison, north side, south side. We've got that and a number of other topics to touch on. Let's not wait anymore. Mike North, how are you, my friend?
Oh, I couldn't be better, Aldo. Always great to talk to my buddy, the best in the business, ladies and gentlemen. He ain't a wingman. Oh, no, we're partners, baby. And I'll tell you what, he gets it done. We get it done. Looking forward to today. Quite frankly, was a great weekend in sports, a monumental weekend
yeah.
in sports. We'll have a pick for today. Just having the time of my life. And Wednesday will be our last show until March 18th, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a little time off, and then we're going to come back better than ever, going to make some changes. Aldo's got... He's in the lab. He's with the test tubes. He's got, you know, he's like Christopher Lloyd in Back to the Future, only better looking, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
By the way, have you noticed how Bernie Sanders and Christopher Lloyd look so little alike?
That is so true.
I mean, Doc, I look at Doc and then I look at Bernie. I go, I'm in.
They do
if
look
Bernie
alike.
Sanders came back as Doc's brother in Back to the Future 6, I don't know, it would be hilarious.
That is so true.
Wow.
That is so. You should be a casting director, Mike. You really should.
I'll tell you what. Bernie, the only difference between Bernie and Christopher Lloyd as Doc is it, I think Bernie might be nuttier than Doc, but they're both fun and they're both entertaining.
So true.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my goodness. Mike.
It's only going to cost us $100 trillion. That's it. $100 trillion.
100 gigawatts of millions of dollars.
That's it. That's it. But God bless them. Stick it to the mess. message.
There you go. That's what he does.
So what's going on here?
Well, we got to talk about this fight because it was a surprise to many, except there was one guy who kind of predicted it on the nose, and I want to play that for you. John Fury, the dad of Tyson Fury, he said this about 3 weeks ago on a British TV show.
I'll tell you what's going to happen. He's going to get bullied to death and stopped in about 8 or 9 rounds. I've been up close and personal with Deontay Wilder. Mm-hmm. I seen something in his eyes, and I've been as close as I am to you. Mm-hmm. And I seen what I seen in him, and my son's got too much for me in every department. I come right close to him, and I thought, you know what? You can't beat my son with hammer in each hand, and he's got hammers in each hand, but I'll tell you what, he's never...
John, when you go to sleep or not, isn't there just a little bit of doubt in your head that the Wilder could improve?
No, because he's 35-year-old.
He nailed it, Mike. He said round 8 or 9, it happened in round 7. He had way too much for Deontay Wilder, and that was absolutely true. And did Wilder learn anything from the last fight that was a draw? He learned absolutely nothing. He was dominated by the British champion.
Well, here's what I know. If you're 6'7" mm-hmm. and you're 231 pounds, mm-hmm. but you're supposed to be 220, you know, you could be a little sluggish. But he felt he had to put on a few more pounds. Now, his listed weight, Wilder's listed weight, mm-hmm. is 6'7", originally, 213 pounds. He knew he had to put on weight. But you know what? To me, it was easier for Tyson Fury to get up to 271
oh, yeah.
at 6'9", and be comfortable. And he was in better shape than I thought. People were worried that he might be a little heavy. Well, of course he's heavy, but if it's toned, it doesn't matter. Wilder was built like a brick. But here's the deal. Tyson Fury wasn't intimidated, and it was great for boxing. I loved what happened. Fury, I don't blame him for calling the fight, because when you're bleeding out of the ear...
Yeah, that's dangerous.
See, if I got a bloody nose, or if I got a bloody lip, and I've had those,
right?
That's fine. If I get in a fight with somebody, and they go, Mike, you're bleeding out of your ear, I might go to the hospital. Because you don't know what's going inside that noggin. Bleeding from the ear is not natural. Bleeding from the nose if you get punched, bleeding from the lip if you get punched, maybe knocking out a tooth or something, that's natural. But if you're telling me that if I was in a heavyweight fight and somebody said, you're doing okay, but your ear's bleeding, I go, well, it's probably cut on the outside. No, it's bleeding from the inside. You got to stop it because you don't know what's going on.
There are three places you don't want to bleed from, and that's your ear, your anus, and your penis.
If I take a leak and I'm bleeding from my penis, I'm just going to walk out to the Kennedy and just take a stroll. Because that's brutal. But I got to be honest. I thought for they got their money's worth. The people got their money's worth. How many heavyweight fights have you and I bought over the years where we didn't get our money's worth?
Oh, you ain't kidding. You know? Almost every Mike Tyson fight, right?
Oh, my God. The Mike Tyson Bone Crusher Smith fight where he just hugged him for 6-7 rounds. Yes. I said, if I want to watch somebody dance, I'll watch a Brothers Dude movie on TCF.
That's right.
Ridiculous, but it was a great fight. Fury's a man.
Mm-hmm.
And it just goes to show you. You could say UFC, WWF, all these other things. If you have two great heavyweights or two heavyweights that want to fight, it dwarfs them all.
Yep.
It dwarfs them all.
George Bayless says that Fury really is a very good boxer, and he definitely showed us that. And Ben Wilder is a puncher. He's a great puncher, but that was the difference in a lot of people's eyes was the fact that Fury boxed. Now, let's listen to Teddy Atlas, the renowned basketball.
By the way, I didn't understand one word his father said. Telling you.
I was reading the subtitles.
Man.
And Teddy Atlas is almost as difficult to understand. Let's listen to Teddy's post-game or post-fight comments, and he says that there are two ways to defuse the bomb that is Wilder's right hand. You move and create different angles, and also
back up the puncher. Keep them both ways. You're trying to do one thing: keep them off balance, not let them be set. So you're either keeping them off balance by giving angles, and he got caught doing it. But he got a draw, and it was a great performance.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can do it by backing him up on his back leg where he's not set to punch. He decided to do it that way. And along with it, he got a bonus, the mental part. He bullied a bully.
he did bully the bully, didn't he?
Yeah, and you want to know something? If I asked you, name me five heavyweights that Deontay Wilder has fought. There's no doubt it's been one of the weakest divisions ever in the past 10, 15 years, but these two guys have risen it. But it's not like when Ali would have... I can name you his challengers off the top of my head, and they would all give these guys good fights. Larry Holmes, Evander Holyfield. No, not Evander Holyfield. Ernie Terrell. Just all sorts of great boxers that you... Jerry Quarry, Leon Spinks, Ken Norton. All those guys would give these two guys a fight. If I asked you to name me five fighters Tyson Fury has fought, we couldn't name them because the division's been weak, but these two guys have been top heavy, and I got to believe after these two guys, there's nothing much in the heavyweight division, but that's all you need is these two guys.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that Wilder will pick up the option for the rematch, which he has about 27 more days to do? Because the contract's at 30 days after the fight, so he's got about 28 days. Do you think we'll see a third one, or do you think that this injury to his noggin is maybe has him thinking, you know what, at my age and the millions that I got in the bank, maybe fighting this guy again isn't in my best interest?
Well, you know what? If he's got any spirit within him, competitive instinct, you want to fight again. That being said, I've heard today that some people are saying he won't. Some people saying he will. It's a big payday. Right now is not the time to ask him. Wait a couple weeks when he's healed up and stuff, and I think he'll fight again. But it's like my old story, and I don't know if I've ever told you this. Carmen loves this story. Carmen DeFalco, my partner on AM 1000. I'll never forget. I got in a fight with a kid named Bobby Burns back when I was 12, 13 years old. Okay? And he beat my ass. And I said, you know what? I'm going to be ready for him next time. 2 weeks later, we got in a fight again, and he beat my ass again. So that's when I decided I'm not fighting anymore. Tyson, I mean, Wilder and Fury have fought twice. He's gotten a draw, and he's gotten a loss. Here's what's going to happen. When Wilder fights him again, he's going to get clubbed again like a baby seal because the aura is gone. Fury's not afraid of him, and Fury's a better boxer.
Yeah, that is true.
That's got to go if the money's like millions of dollars. Go in there and fight him. And I think Wilder will. He wanted to fall on his shield. He wanted him to keep the fight going. Those guys said, tomorrow's another day. We want you to live so you can have another opportunity, maybe, to have a rematch.
There you go. Now, Wilder, immediately after the fight, was interviewed, and he was not happy with the towel being thrown in. This is what he said.
No, I make no excuses tonight. I just wish that my corner would have let me win out on my shield. I'm a warrior, and that's what I do, you know what I'm saying? But he did what he did. It's no excuses, and we come back and be stronger.
Now, Mike, the assistant manager in the corner was the one that threw in the towel, and he is the one who was botched professionally. So when he saw that ear bleeding, he knew that nothing good was going to come out of that, which is he showed compassion for his fighter. The manager didn't agree with the towel being thrown, but they had an agreement that either one of them could throw the towel in. Now, He certainly showed guts there, saying that he didn't want the towel thrown in, he being Wilder. And that tells me that he's going to accept the challenge of a rematch.
Yeah, and Mark Breland, the former gold medalist, who underperformed as a professional, is the guy that threw the towel
in. That's him, right.
There are people in the boxing business that always thought he was a tremendous fighter. I thought he was a little soft.
Yes.
But I don't like this deal where the assistant guy gets to overrule the manager.
Yeah, that's
kind of
weird.
One manager, and that's where they screwed up.
Yeah.
So, that being said, I think you got to respect what Breland did. That's the deal they came up with. And I think Wilder will accept, but I think he'll get his ass kicked again.
I agree. And kudos to Tyson Fury. Immediately after the fight, this is what he said about his opponent.
I just want to say big shout out to Deontay Wilder. You know, he came here tonight. He manned up. He really did show heart of a champion. I hit him with a clean right hand and dropped him, and he got back up and battled on into round seven. He is a warrior. He will be back. He will be a champion again. But I will say, the king has returned to the top of the throne.
You can't help but like the guy. He is so
good. He made you forget it. You know, Conor McGregor thinks he's a promoter. This guy's the new man.
Yeah, how about it? Absolutely.
I mean, everybody knows about this guy now. Conor McGregor is a great promoter, but Tyson Fury, my God, the heavyweight division hasn't seen a promoter like this. And I'm not talking a promoter that is completely, like Tyson, saying, I'm going to kill everybody, I'm going to eat their children. That's really not promoting.
Yeah.
This guy here comes across as likable, comes across as a guy that people can identify with, and, you know, he got the job done. I mean, if you take a look, first of all, Deontay Wilder fought great. I mean, he did his best.
Yes.
But Fury showed no backup, and he backed Wilder up against the ropes. Wilder allowed it to happen, and by the end of the fight, thank God they got rid of the championship rounds, 13, 14, 15.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. I don't believe Wilder would have been able to go another round.
Yeah.
I don't, if they didn't throw the title in, maybe one more round. I hear Max Kellerman say, well, maybe he gets a lucky shot in. Mm. Well, if that's the case, any big puncher would never have his fights called off because he was getting his brains beat in. Hey, let him die in the ring. He's got a shot.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't going to knock out Fury.
I've seen that replay now maybe a half dozen times of when the fight was called, and the look on Wilder's face, his eyes, he was out on his feet. So, you know, he could have been really, really seriously hurt. And at this point, we don't even know what the extent of the injuries were. We know that Wilder went to the hospital immediately after the fight to get checked on, so it wasn't a pretty picture. He got his ass kicked big time.
He got his butt ripped, man.
Hey, and how about Tyson Fury licking the blood off of Wilder's neck during the fight?
How dare that man steal my trademark move?
That is unbelievable.
He's beating your ass and then he decides to lick the blood off your neck. What the hell's going on? But you know what? That's a sport that's savage. It's a savage sport. I mean, think about this. A guy, Mike Tyson, bit Evander Holyfield's ear off, half of it, or the top of it. And Holyfield, they go, what do you want to do? He goes, well, let's keep fighting.
Yes.
That's not normal.
That is not normal
when half your ear's gone. I mean, Wilder was bleeding out of the ear. Holyfield had his ear bit off and said, let's keep going. So the warrior stuff that he likes to wear with pride took a little bit of a hit, and that's why he's upset. But I don't think he protested very much that he didn't want the fight stopped.
That reminds me of when I was a kid about 10 years ago. I'm getting my ass kicked in a fight. And so what do? Hey, this guy's going to kill me. I got to bite him. So I bit his earlobe, and there's
blood. Did you really?
Yes. And there's...
Remember, I'm never messing with you.
There's blood all over the place, and this guy wants to continue to fight me. And I'm thinking, holy cow, I'm going to have to bite him some more or run like hell.
I can't believe you bit a man. God bless you. What year was this, Aldo, in the 70s?
This was 1969. I was 10 years old.
And the guy, what happened in the fight? Did you end up winning it?
No, we were pulled apart by our uncles who basically, they were the promoters of the fight. Hey, I want my guy to fight your guy. All right.
So, wow.
I was getting my ass kicked.
I'll tell you. Well, yeah, I mean, the last fight I got in was in New Orleans. And, you know, I flew home and I was sore for about a week. So that was like 2002. I think. That wasn't that long ago, but I retired that night.
That's a good move, right?
Oh, yeah. You know what? It's a great sport, and it was great for the sport. I was glad to see the heavyweight division still on top, but I don't buy this. You know, you got to stay. I mean, Deontay Wilder basically said, if I was going to die in the ring, that's the way I wanted it. No! No!
Please, no.
No, you want to fight again.
Exactly.
Everybody has a bad day. Who knows? Maybe he just had a bad day. Maybe he changes his strategy. Who knows? I'd hire Teddy Atlas to be my trainer if I was him.
Yeah, really. Now,
because Teddy even said backing up was the wrong move.
Yes. Teddy knows his stuff, although he picked Wilder to win this fight, and frankly, I did too. Did you have a bet going into the fight, Mike?
No, I didn't have a bet going into the fight, but I think a lot of people look at Wilder and they say, you know, he's fighting a bald-headed, big, fat white guy.
Yes.
So he should kick his ass.
Exactly.
It didn't work that way.
I watched the weigh-in, you know, and so Fury didn't take his shirt off. He didn't want to show anybody the flab and so forth. And so I'm thinking to myself, man, I don't know. This guy talks a lot. He talks a good game, but I think that Wilder with that crazy right hand of his, I'm picking Wilder. I didn't lay a bet down, but I expected Wilder to win. And I'm watching that fight, I said, holy cow, was I ever wrong?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it was a great fight, and it was great for the boxing. There was no controversy, so to speak, except this garbage. What they're like, I didn't want him to stop the fight. Give me a break. You know what? You were about a round away from being in a coma. Seriously. Yeah.
Now, Q from Cincy reminds us that there is another heavyweight out there. His name is Anthony Joshua. He's also from England, and he's also a huge man. He's 6'6" tall. What is going on with heavyweights now? They're getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Muhammad Ali was a heavyweight. He was like a little over 205 pounds for most of his weights. Now
look at Holyfield. One of my favorite fighters of all time, a dear friend.
That's right.
He was under 200 pounds. He was a cruiserweight.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's fighting Lennox Lewis, but he's fighting George Foreman. Mm-hmm. He's fighting Mike Tyson, and he's getting it done. So it's about heart. Holyfield has the greatest heart I've ever seen a boxer have. But, man, I'll tell you what. Nowadays, if Holyfield had to fight Tyson Fury, now they'd say there should be super heavyweights instead of just heavyweight. Because 6'9", 271, outweighing Wilder by 40 pounds.
Yeah, I agree with that. I had not heard that, but I agree that a super heavyweight category is needed because
they might have to do that, super heavyweight. Because the heavyweight division, but I don't think they ever will. It's just going to get bigger and bigger. These guys are monsters now. Mm-hmm. And I mean, 6'9", and the reaches and everything else. I mean, you just wonder, as tough as Tyson was, if Fury fights Tyson at 6'9", 271, mm-hmm. I don't care what anybody says. As bad as Tyson was, he might have some problems. Because when he did fight somebody bigger named Buster Douglas, he got sent into the hemisphere and was looking for his mouthpiece.
Yes, exactly.
Remember that?
Oh, gosh, I'll never forget that.
Against a bigger fighter,
yep.
Lennox Lewis.
Yep.
Same way, big fighters.
Exactly.
And this guy's as big as it gets.
Yep. And then one stat here that I wanted to share with everybody. In the first fight, Tyson Fury landed 38 power shots, and that was through 12 rounds because it was a draw. And then on Saturday, Fury landed 20 more power shots in those 7 rounds. So his strategy was definitely take it to the guy, intimidate him, and don't be as respectful of that right hand as you showed in the first fight. It was clever strategy.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the first fight was good too, but it ended up in a draw. I think they're going to have a rematch. Where's Wilder going to go? Well, you're going to fight somebody else. Nobody, why? You just lost.
Yeah.
You just lost, so what kind of payday are you going to get?
Right.
You're not the best going. So I think you'll sign up.
The money is definitely with the trilogy fight. That could be promoted to, and you know, hey, I'll pay the $80 again and watch the fight, and I'm sure a lot of other people will.
Sure.
Hey, some really good comments in the chat room. Let me share a couple. Merv says that we should check out the Mike Tyson podcast because he had Evander Holyfield on it, and it was truly an amazing talk between those two guys. So that is something I will look for, and I will tweet that out for all of us to take a listen to. And then Berlissimo says that after the fight,
I love Berlissimo.
Oh, he's the best. He's got a new show coming up tomorrow. We're going to look at the NFL Combine.
Oh, I got the chills.
He said that Tyson Fury walked over after receiving the belt from Deontay Wilder. He told him, "What a fighter you are." I wish I could do that British accent. "What a fighter you are. That first round, dynamite. Good luck to anyone you land that one on. God bless you, and God bless all of you and your family. God loves you." Very classy,
yeah,
classy.
Yeah, I hate a guy like that.
That's right.
Tyson said he wants to eat people's kids and burn their house to the ground. A big difference.
Do you remember when he told the reporter he was going to?
I'll eat your children.
Yes.
I might add a coronary right there.
To have sex with you. Oh, my God.
Listen to this. I am at a place on South Michigan Avenue years ago, 90s. Uh-huh. And Mike Tyson's in there, in the place.
Oh, cool.
It was a mixed bar, black, white, you know,
uh-huh.
South Michigan Avenue. And Otis Wilson was there.
Otis!
Mike Tyson was drinking Long Island iced teas.
Uh-huh.
After about his fifth one, I said, we better get out of here.
Good call, Mike. Very good.
The guy was pounding. And he was starting to get, then he gives you the look. If you look at him, he looks at you at the bar.
That's right.
Like, I'm going to take care of you when I wipe out everybody else in this bar.
There's
Forget
a,
about it.
There's a video.
Definitely a menacing figure.
Oh, my gosh.
But a midget compared to Tyson Fury.
There's a video of Chad Ochocinco walking into the training room, and Tyson is back there. And he looks at the camera crew that is following Ochocinco, and he looks at the crew and says, who are you guys with? And he's got that menacing look. And Ochocinco says, no.
He had the eyes, and, Eddie Murphy says, who's a little guy? Looks like a bulldog, in Coming to America. Mike Tyson, he was a bulldog, a pit bull.
How
man.
About it? Hey, can you recall a heavyweight fight that is just, you just think back on and say that was one of the best ones?
Oh, Holyfield Tyson.
Yeah, that has to be.
Holyfield Tyson's... And when was the one where the parachuter came in and he got his ass kicked?
Yeah, Holyfield versus, let me look it up.
Was that Tyson? I forget.
I mean,
Holyfield's my favorite, but those fights, Holyfield, Tyson, I mean, these guys, Foreman, they're all monsters. I don't see other fighters besides these two. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're big, they're huge, and they're in shape, and they can fight.
Right.
I think what happens with Wilder, he better learn to box a little bit more. Because if you're looking to cock that right hand and just knock out Fury, that's going to be tough.
There you go. Riddick Bowe versus Evander Holyfield.
That was right. Yeah, that was great.
That was crazy, man. A guy on a parachute lens near the ring.
I'll give you one that was better. I'm in Vegas with my buddies. I bet this fight. And I'm in the bar, and there's two brothers next to me and my buddy. I got Galata. They got Bull.
Oh.
I got a few bucks on this, more than a few bucks on it.
Uh-huh.
Galata is whipping his ass, and I'm giving the brothers next to me. We were talking. We were having fun. You know, guys.
Sure.
Guys, I go,
sure.
Your guy's getting his ass kicked. He don't have a shot. He's fighting a Polish guy with a crew cut. You have no shot, right? Then the moron decides to hit Bo below the belt twice. I lost the bet, and these two guys rolled my ass for 5 minutes. It was great. I mean, seriously, boxing's fun, man.
And
everybody gets involved, so it was a lot of fun. But that was a great fight, too. The Galata fights. Bo was involved in some big fights,
he
man.
Was.
He really was.
He was one of the last of those gladiators from that era. Yeah, the heavyweight boxing division, as a kid, that was what you wanted to watch. It wasn't until later years when Hearns and Leonard and Duran made the middleweights, welterweights more popular. But man, oh man, you wanted to see Ali Frazier. You wanted to see Ali Foreman. You wanted to see Kenny Norton fight. You wanted to see those great heavyweights. That was a great time.
I'll give you one. The Ali Frazier fights were the greatest, too. Those three fights were unbelievable,
yes.
Man. They wanted to kill each other.
Yes.
That was great. It ended up, both men were damaged by going to the hospital.
Yeah.
I mean, Ali and him both went to the hospital after the first fight. Frazier was bleeding from inside his mouth.
Yep.
Ali didn't know what day it was.
Yep.
It's a brutal sport, and it's a sport that, they'll give you leeway. It's one of the few sports where you can be hit 480 times in the head.
That's right.
And nobody says anything. You know what I mean?
That's right.
CTE doesn't exist in boxing. You know what I mean?
Yep.
If you got it 20 years down the line, that's the way it goes. We don't worry about it.
For sure. Q from Cincy reminds us of Aaron Pryor. Aaron Pryor.
Hey, I loved Aaron Pryor, but Q, he couldn't keep his nose out of the powder.
That is so true.
That's what got him at the end.
I remember.
Fighter, but he just, the guy loved, what a lot of guys love.
Yes.
Except he loved stuff to excess, like cocaine.
Yeah, he could have been probably the greatest in that weight class if he would have stayed clean.
Oh, he was a big man.
Yes.
He was a skilled boxer, but he was... He liked too many bad habits.
Yeah, and Mike, I will never forget listening to one of the analysts during this fight saying that Aaron Pryor's skull was almost a complete size and a half of the human skull. His head was built to take punches, and that's how he fought. He was fearless in there, but you're absolutely right. He had nose for the white stuff, and that got him into a lot
of
trouble.
That's right. I mean, you know what? He just had no discipline. If you have discipline, Evander Holyfield is my guy. He had discipline.
Mm-hmm.
He always came in ready to fight, always knew he had to be in tip-top shape, was afraid of nobody, big, bigger, or heavier, didn't matter to him. That's why I love the guy. He was the classic underdog that just whipped everybody's ass.
I am so with you on that, and always in tip-top shape.
He beat twice Tyson twice.
Yes. And always in tip-top shape, right, Mike? I mean, he never showed up with a micro inch of flab. This guy was ripped.
I'm going to tell you a great story. The Bowleramas I used to have. We had guys like, I had wrestlers, Georgie Animal Steel, Bob Probert, all the Hawks. I had the Bulls, Elton Brand. I had the Bears, Marcus Robinson back in the day. Kate McNown came to one of them. We had Allison Payne, all the anchors, Joan Esposito. They all came to Arlington Heights Bowl. Jeff Schwartz called Evander Holyfield.
Mm-hmm.
He says, if you fly me in, I'll be there. So we flew him in on Delta because he's from Atlanta. Flew him in. We went to pick him up in a limo. Got in. Nicest guy ever. I said to Schwartz, all the lanes were covered. Jimbo Colbert was there. Bears, former Bears. I go, do you believe on Haley 12, the heavyweight champion of the world is bowling? At Arlington Heights, it's still my biggest thrill. He signed gloves for me. Pictures for me. We hung out. Just a great man.
Man, oh man, what a great time.
People loved it. They got everybody that came paid money to be in the gallery if they weren't going to bowl, and they got bowling pins that could get autographed. They all got autographed by all the guys. It went on for 5 years. I was one of the first ones to ever have a Bowlerama. Now everybody does it. But let me tell you, they have Evander Holyfield there.
Oh my goodness.
And Jerome Bettis came. I mean, just great stuff.
That is
in Arlington Heights. I'll never forget it. And he was such a nice man. And I hope I see him again real soon.
Yeah, how about that? All right, we have to move on and do this.
Yeah! Come on now. We only got one for today. Oh, God, Vegas Scores and Odds. I want to thank them very, very much. Wednesday's going to be our last show with them. Then we'll be back March 18th. But let me tell you something. I had a horrible day yesterday. One of my few blanket days, 0-3, after being on fire previously, but I said, you know what, that happens every so often. What are you going to do? I know this, that when it comes to basically getting it done, I have no worries because you get to gamble every day. It's just almost like baseball, ladies and gentlemen. So what I'm going to give is everybody tonight, take Louisville under, ladies and gentlemen, Louisville under against Florida State at 6 o'clock, the under 141 is in that game. 141, Louisville under. It's our only pick of the day. Believe me, you don't want any more picks from me right now the way I'm going from yesterday. Let's just take this one, go a couple units, and enjoy. Hell no, Vic.
Well, you don't have to fear because George in the chat room said he just placed the bet. He's taking your advice. Good stuff, Mike. Really good stuff.
Can I just say this to everybody?
Uh-huh.
I want to thank you, first of all, for the great job the Joys do. But I also want to say hi to everybody that listens to the Bears Bar. When we've exceeded our Twitter take, we've done well for Vegas Scores and Odds. I just love it. And you know what? We're continuing on with this show. Starting in March, it'll be like once a week until football season comes. But I'll tell you what, it's a gas. It really, really is. And Bears Bar is making a name for itself.
Thank you, Mike. And you are the biggest part of what's happened to Bears Barroom was having you sign on with us, becoming a part owner of the operation.
But besides Shane.
That's right. Good old Shane.
And little Nicky. What happened to Shane? I haven't heard from him lately.
Shane's wife is ill. And so,
oh, no.
Yeah, he's missed the last two weeks to tend to his family.
Tell him for us. Tell him for me, man. He's a good guy. I hope everything's okay.
Yeah, thank you. I will definitely let him know.
AMB will say a prayer for him.
Thank you very much. He, his wife, Igla, has been very, very sick. And so we hope that he'll be back on the show 100 Proof on Wednesday. But, of course, he'll take as much time as he needs.
I love 100 Proof.
Yeah, it's a good one.
How many shows on the Bears Star Wars?
Oh, my gosh. Right now we are at 9 and flirting to hit 10 real soon. We've got a new show kind of in the works, so we'll talk more about that in the near future. All right, here's what I want to do now. I want to talk some Chicago Cubs and White Sox baseball at the same time, because I thought it would be cool to take a look at the lineups for both teams and kind of do a little comparison, you know, because both of these teams are going into the 2020 baseball season with some really, in my opinion, some really strong lineups. So I want to get your take on this. Now, the Chicago sometimes gave me the idea because they've got on Sunday's paper a projected lineup. So let's go through the White Sox first and then we'll go through the Cubs, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
Tim Anderson at shortstop. He was the American League leader, the majors leader in average, batting average, .335. Do you want to compare them, like, first the Cubs and Sox, you know, go position?
We could do either one you want. I would say this. He was the greatest hitting shortstop and the worst fielding.
Yes, that is for sure.
But, I mean, nobody even knows. Like, you asked anybody who was the batting champion of the American League just on the street, not in Chicago, nobody would know.
Yeah, I am so with
you. What happened to when Ted Williams, when he'd win, people would like fall all over themselves and other people.
Oh my gosh.
The kid credit. He hit .335.
Mm-hmm.
Can you live with the errors? No, he's got to get better. But if he could show up the glove a little bit and keep his batting the way it is, you got to like it.
Yeah, I'm with you. So, okay, let's compare that with the projected lineup that RotoWorld, the fantasy football shop, actually it's RotoChamp.com. They've got Chris Bryant, and I've double-checked this with a number of other sources. The Cubs are projected to have Chris Bryant in the leadoff spot.
He's going to be the leadoff, and Rizzo's going to be at second, and I have no problem with that.
Man, I guess
I like a set lineup, which... Yeah. Well, as soon as Ross is over, they said he's got the flu. The guy's been gone for 3 days.
No, what's going on?
Come on.
That is weird.
What kind of flu you got? Let's go. I mean, you know, yeah, my guy on Twitter, I was looking at Twitter early, and, you know, you feel bad for the guy because he's got, and, you know, Twitter can be cruel, as we all know.
Oh, yeah.
you know, it really can, but I'm reading this. It says here, Gordon Whitmire says, Ross out with the flu, day 3. And Gas Money Bob says, #, soft. So already it starts.
Yes, it definitely is.
Man, that's a bad case of the flu if you're out for 3 days, and your job for the first time is to be the manager of the team.
Yes, isn't that wild?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
So you don't have a problem. I mean, this to me is not...
I don't have a problem with the set. I wanted a set lineup. I got tired of Joe Madden moving everybody around. And look, Ricky Henderson let off. And look what he did.
Yeah.
I think what Bryant's going to have to do is just be a little bit more selective. But they want their two big boppers up front. I don't know. If it doesn't work, they'll move it around. But would you rather have Bryant or Schwarber? Would you rather have Bryant or somebody else? To me, Bryant, if you put him there and you tell him he's going to be there all year, I think he'll deliver. The one thing you worry about, maybe not enough RBIs, but he's only going to be at first once. But he's going to score a ton of runs, hopefully. So, I mean, it's a good thing. He bats in the first inning. Maybe they're looking to get the lead early with him and Rizzo. But we'll find out how it's going to work. I think it's bold, but I don't have a problem with it.
Okay. I'm just of that traditional camp where you don't want a guy batting leadoff who struck out 140 times last year and only 500.
Those days are over.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you're right.
They're over. You know that. Yeah. Louis Aparicio ain't walking through that door.
Yeah.
You know, Ricky Henderson isn't walking through that door. But maybe, I guarantee you this, I got a feeling those strikeouts will be cut down if he leads off.
Yeah, I hope so.
Got to quit being a sucker for the low sinker, though.
Right. I almost feel like if you're going to pick between one of those two guys, it should be Rizzo. He only had 86 strikeouts and just, let's see, on-base percentage. It's actually, Rizzo is about 20 points better than Bryant. But
I wouldn't mind. I don't have a problem if they decide to flip-flop him.
Yeah.
But this is what Ross has decided, and they seem okay. I like the lefty batting second. because he's going to try to pull the ball and hit behind the runner, which is Bryant. So we'll see what happens.
Now, over at the White Sox side, the Sun-Times has projected Yoan Moncada, the third baseman, the switch-hitting third baseman, to bat second. And you got to love that. I mean, this guy had a breakout year in his second year. Of course, he's got to prove that that wasn't a fluke and so forth. But by all accounts, this guy's trajectory is pointing up, and he would be a great guy to have in your lineup at the second spot because he gets on base and he can also hit for some power.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's the deal with the Sox. Their lineup is a stud lineup.
Yeah, it really is.
But can they field? And can they pitch?
That's a very good point.
Because they can hit. They can hit with anybody.
Yep.
And you know what? Here's what I'm really tired of already. It's like the second day of spring training. Mm-hmm. And you hear White Sox fans tweeting, Louis Robert.
Yeah.
On a line drive. Like, it's a big accomplishment. They put it on Twitter. Line drive. Robert catches it in seven. What? Knock it off. It's the first week of spring training, for Christ's sake. Quit acting like every fielding play and every hit is a big deal. It won't matter. Believe me. I'll come April.
Okay.
I mean, do you read Twitter? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The people go a little overboard.
Oh, my God. The White Sox fans.
Yeah.
You know. They go nuts. The Cup fans go nuts. I mean, it's crazy. It really, really is.
All right. Batting third for both teams. It's the Cubs have Javi Baez and the White Sox have Jose Abreu. Who do you like better in that third spot? Abreu, the power-hitting first baseman, or Javi Baez, who is the line drive gap hitter?
I'd rather have Javi Baez on my team.
Hard to argue with that, yeah.
I mean, look, Abreu's a nice hitter. He has no range at first. Okay, very limited at first base, can hit, but Javi Baez is a stud, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's a stud that can play short, can play second. But it was interesting to hear, and this is why Madden was let go, probably. And they call it philosophical differences. No, Madden let the team get away from him.
Mm-hmm.
From the time they won the World Series, it seems like Madden just got less. He got less lenient. I mean, when I hear Javi Baez say, "Well, we never came out to practice. We stayed indoors, and I didn't get loose to the third or fourth inning." That's on the manager.
Yeah.
He deserved to get his ass kicked out.
I'm with you.
Out of the organization.
I'm with
5 years, you were manager. You won one, and then you're reading the last couple of years, they didn't bust their tail. Come on. Come on.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to believe he's going to go out to L.A. And get that thing turned around? He may be good for the first couple of years, but I found out one thing about Joe Madden. He didn't want to be here halfway through last year, and the year before, and the year before, they used hangover after the 2016 season. Oh, we're going to have a hangover year. They put in excuses before the season even started,
crazy.
And the media ran with it.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. Yep. Yeah,
I thought they were going to win two or three.
Me too. I at least, you know, go to the World Series and you know, maybe blow it there. But that was very, very disappointing. All right. Hey, one more point about Abreu. I forgot that he led the American League in RBIs last year with 123. So he's a great number three hitter.
Okay.
But
I'm the leading hitter in baseball, the leading RBI guy in baseball. How many wins did we have?
Well, the pitching was a bigger problem. We'll talk about pitching next.
We got two pitchers.
Yeah.
We got Giolito, who had 1 year, just like you were just saying about Moncada.
Yeah, you're right.
And we got Keuchel.
You're right. I mean, that is.
And by the way, Dallas Keuchel isn't as good as he was because he left the garbage can clanking Astros, went to Atlanta, went 8-8 with a 3.75. Still not bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, he left the team that's going to forever be known as cheaters.
No, I agree with you on Dallas Keuchel. He's going to give you innings, but the question is, will he give you wins? That's the big thing. Now, at the cleanup spot, the White Sox are projecting Edwin Encarnacion.
Yeah,
there you go. And the Cubbies, Kyle Schwarber. I'm kind of leaning towards the White Sox there. I know that Edwin Encarnacion is 37 years old, so who knows how much baseball he's got left on him. But he did have
breaks for offenses every time. I got no problem with
that. Yeah, he's a traditional.
It's a nice pickup. Yeah. It's a 1 year pickup, maybe. I don't know. Schwarber, I just don't want him leading off. Bat him down. The best news about Bryant leading off, or Rizzo maybe, is that Schwarber won't.
Yeah.
That was one of Joe Madden's big failures.
Yes.
Huge failure.
Yes.
Was having that guy lead off.
He had 32 home runs last year. He's definitely a middle of the lineup type of hitter. I don't know why the heck you would have him batting first. Let me see. His on-base percentage was 346, which was about third best, fourth best on the team. You know, there are other guys who just...
He can't field that well, although he got better.
Yeah.
As the season went on, I love Kyle, but he wasn't a leadoff man. And, you know, maybe Brian won't be one. They've been looking for a leadoff man ever since Dexter Fowler.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
You know.
That's right. That's a huge loss, Dexter Fowler. All right. Batting fifth is that catcher that you are so in love with for the White Sox that they traded for Yasmani Grandal, and batting fifth for the Cubs.
He had a RBI single the other day and threw two guys out at on the bases.
Yeah, he did. The guy can play baseball. There's no doubt.
But where do they got McCann? Is it DH?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's not even projected in the starting lineup
an all-star catcher.
I know.
Not projected in the starting lineup.
That doesn't make sense to me.
It's such a joke. They didn't need Grandal. And now you know what I'm reading? Well, what about Zach Collins? He's going to end up back in the minors. You didn't think about that before you spent $70 million on a guy like Grandal?
I'm with you, man.
It's ridiculous. And if you remember, I don't want anybody telling me I'm Johnny Come Lately.
Mm-hmm.
Aldo knows. I was all over this badass signing. This is a bad signing. I'll stick to my guns. The Sox, it was an unnecessary signing. Period.
I'm with you. I'm with you, Ian. You did say it.
And now I'm hearing, well, Zach Collins, it's going to jeopardize his growth. Well, why didn't anybody say that when I was bitching about it?
Exactly. Now, Wilson,
my God, now all of a sudden everybody's worried.
Wilson Contreras, the catcher for the Cubs, is projected to bat fifth, and I think this guy is going to have a breakout year. He had a home run in his first at-bat in spring training. I think that's just a sign of things to come. He had 19 home runs last year, 65 RBIs, and just 400 at-bats. Wilson Contreras is a stud in the making. You with me?
Yeah, I'm with you, Alex. And I'll tell you what, he's had a great offseason. He's been working out every single day, doing agility drills. I think he could be a much better catcher. Madden used to move him around. And don't forget, the asswipe Madden put him in right field in one of the worst moves of all time, where it came back and bit the Cubs in the ass. They lost that game, lost a little momentum. They put a catcher that never played the outfield in right field. They lost that game. I'll never forget Madden doing that. There was no reason for it. You keep your all-star players at their all-star positions.
Mike, you've talked about that a few times on the show, and I think it's worthy of bringing up because I think that was one of the moments in the 2019 season that you can point to and say, yeah, that was so stupid, that it had even a bigger impact than just that game. There was a reverberation effect that it left a sour taste with so many people.
That was the defining moment to me.
There you go.
You and I were on the air,
yep.
And I said, I'll never forget, Uncle. What? How could you do that?
That's right.
How could you put a never-played right field catcher in right field? And then he took his little baby steps. The ball went off his glove. Another one fell in front of him. And Madden, for no reason, did that. And you're right. And that's where I think the break started to happen,
yep,
with Epstein and him, with the philosophical differences. Not that Joe didn't do things before that probably aggravated Theo Epstein.
I'm with you there again. Absolutely. Now, in the sixth spot, Eloy Jimenez, the young left fielder for the White Sox, and for the Cubs, Jason Hayward. I got to give, from a batting perspective, it's definitely Jimenez. From a fielding perspective, it's definitely Hayward.
Yes. On both counts. Absolutely. The one guy is a great fielder. The other guy isn't. But the other guy can hit. Once again, think about this. You're going to be giving, if you're the White Sox, and your pitcher's got they're young, and you need them to get it out of the innings, think about this. Moncada's just okay at third. Anderson is a civet short, and so is a left fielder. Your left side is going to be exposed for lack of glove work, and that's going to extend certain times, certain innings, and that can hurt pitching. So I'm not anxious as far as defensively goes. I would prefer to have Hayward out there, mm-hmm, if I'm a White Sox. But as far as hitting goes, yeah. But like I said, you got to pick up the baseball to win. I see where the White Sox, people think they're going to win 83, 84 games. I don't see it. We'll find out.
All right. Bottom of the order for both teams. The Cubs have at the seventh spot Jason Kipnis and Ian Happ, and the White Sox are projected to have Nomar Mazara and Louis Robert at the, and then the DH or the ninth spot for the White Sox, Leroy Garcia, who's expected to be holding on to that spot until.
I'm glad they signed the kid, right?
Yeah,
Murray.
Yeah,
they signed. He got a little less, but they came. They brought him back.
Yeah,
he was the Gold Glover, right?
He was the Gold Glover, and
remember, I went nuts. How do you get rid of a Gold Glover? It worked out. They brought him back.
Yeah, and you know they're expecting Nick Madrigal to be the eventual second baseman, but he's going to need some time, so Garcia makes lots of sense there.
Got that guy like he's Rogers Hornsby. The other day he went to his left and made an error. Can we let these guys get settled in before we predict Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Please.
Yes. Good
they
call.
They haven't even got their feet wet, these guys. Madrigal hasn't even gotten his feet wet, and people go nuts. And then you see what happens. He's going to learn. Mm. He'll be okay, but quit rushing everybody.
Pick a lineup that you like best, Cubs or White Sox? It's a tough one, right?
I love the White Sox lineup, but if we had the Cubs pitching,
mm-hmm.
I'd be better. And if we had the Cubs fielding, I mean, if you're going to ask me, because I know we went lineup, Moncada or Bryant at third, I'm taking Bryant. Baez at shortstop over Anderson, I'm taking Baez.
Mm-hmm.
Kipnis is solid at second base, but Garcia's better. I'm taking Garcia at second base. At first base, Rizzo over Abreu. Defensively, catcher, if they have this Grandel guy, no way. I'm taking Contreras. So the Cubs' defense overall, I believe, especially in the infield, is better than the White Sox. But we'll see what happens. It's a whole new season. But the White Sox... to make the jump to win 80, 82, 83 games, that's going to be tough, man.
Yeah,
they're expected to now. The rebuild is over. Renteria already declared it.
Yes, he did, which is a gutsy thing to say because you know what happens if you don't follow through and get into the playoffs. People are going to be calling for your head. That is the truth.
That's right, and, you know, we'll see what happens. And watch his in-game move. Sometimes he does some things that are a little bit weird. But I do like his demeanor, but is he a winning manager?
Yeah.
Can he win? And you know what? You just look at the Reinsdorf Empire and the hires they've made. Think about this. You own a basketball team with Boylan, and you own a baseball team with Renteria. Not exactly top-notch at their spots.
I'm with you. All right, yep. I wanted to talk a little bit of XFL football. Let's table that to Wednesday because I want to close the show getting your opinion on something that happened in the world of Hollywood celebrities. This, according to Fox News, Kirk Douglas, who passed away earlier this month at age 103, chose charity over his son Michael Douglas when deciding how to divide up the $61 million fortune he had. Douglas wanted...
He chose who?
Charity. He's giving $50 million away to various charities through the Kirk Douglas Foundation, and Michael Douglas, who has about a $300 million fortune himself, is going to get a portion of the remaining... $11 million. Thoughts on that?
But who's he giving to Carey?
Kirk Douglas is giving to charity. Charity.
And correct. The rest he's giving to Michael?
Yes, Michael and other...
So they got family. Like three other sons, too.
Exactly.
You know what?
It's a tough one, right?
Yeah, I guess. He figures his kids are all pretty good, well off, especially Michael. I don't know about the other guys, but they've all made money off the Douglas name. The $60 million to charity, I'm sure the charities need it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they discussed it. Maybe they didn't.
I hope so.
But I'm sure they did. I mean, he's 103. I mean, you know,
somewhere
along the last 60 years, you know, maybe you discussed it, you know, but
that's right.
I don't, do the Suns, is there any word of the Suns having a problem with it?
No, there is no reports. This just hit the wires about 2 or 3 hours ago. I'm reading from Fox.
Oh, they're just getting over the shock.
Yeah.
But you know what, Michael Douglas, all these guys, you know, Kirk Douglas does, Michael Douglas is around because of Kirk. Period.
Oh, yes.
There's no Michael Douglas without Kirk Douglas. Period.
Yes. I mean,
it's just sort of like, you know, your father established your name, and mm-hmm. that, you know, that's how Bridget Fonda, Henry Fonda,
yeah.
Peter Fonda,
yeah.
Jane Fonda,
yeah.
you know, the Barrymores,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
people that become, that have, and they're all talented. Michael Douglas is a talented actor.
And producer.
But, you know, it's nepotism.
Right.
But, I mean, it's nepotism with talent.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, I saw a lot of Michael Douglas stuff. He started out on Streets of San Francisco, and I followed his career.
Yeah.
Pretty good actor.
Pretty good actor.
Yeah. Nobody could play Liberace like a Michael Douglas.
Man,
what a movie that was. When are they coming back with that one?
No more, please. No more.
Ladies and gentlemen, Scott Thorson. My driver. Wonderful.
That's hilarious.
Matt Damon. Matt Damon and Michael Douglas kissed on the mouth. You saw the movie?
Yes, I did.
My God!
I don't know why I did, because
wow.
I'm not a Liberace fan.
Where Matt grabs you from behind, turns you around, and sticks his tongue down your throat. Michael, I'm good with that.
great impression.
But then they say it's all about acting. I don't know.
That is true. That's really what it's all about.
Oh, yeah. I don't think either man is of that persuasion. Not that it matters.
Not that it matters.
It's just weird to see on the screen.
Yes, it really was.
But that was a realistic story on Liberace.
Yeah. Well, and you...
Debbie Reynolds, God bless her, her swan song, as Liberace's mother.
That's right. She was in that movie, too. Man,
she was great.
Yeah. And you've urged me to watch this Judy Garland movie, which I still not have.
Have you watched it yet?
No, I still have not. I've been watching other.
Watch it. She's unbelievable. Renee Zellweger and Judy Garland was out of her mind at the end.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. That she was like, I mean, pills and drinking.
The last 2 years of her career.
Yeah, she was a mess. My
goodness.
Performing
in London. Mm-hmm. She's supposed to be singing. She sits on the stage, starts talking to people. You know, she was a troubled woman, man.
Oh, that's sad to hear because, she, you know, growing people our age, we grew up with her, you know, watching her in great movies like Wizard of Oz and some other films and stuff. And it's just sad to see how her career and her life deteriorated the way that it did.
Yeah, she never got over the fact. Well, Louis B. Mayer was cruel to her. They made her starve. They gave her pills and everything else, and it sent her on a tough road. Mm. But she was very fortunate in a lot of ways, too. A lot of people would love. I mean, Doris Day worked, in my opinion, as hard as Judy Garland during mm-hmm. her prime in mm-hmm. movies and everything else. You never heard a peep out of her. She loved it. But I don't think they mistreated her, and she didn't break in as an 11 or 12-year-old.
What's your favorite Judy Garland movie?
God, man, the one I just saw, which wasn't her, but you know what? Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, it has to be.
I mean, The Wizard of Oz is about as good as it gets. Her other movies, A Star Is Born, it was the worst of the four franchises, I think, or the third worst of the franchises. She made some other movies, Meet Me in St. Louis. You know, the Andy Hardy movies were good when they were younger.
Right.
But I think the last half of her career was in a blur for her.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. All right, let's remind people that we are back here for our final Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage show of the season, and we are going to talk XFL football. Mike will have three free picks for us. And
what happened to my guys, the Guardians? They stink. The New York Guardians.
They
stink.
Looked awful. They looked awful.
Oh, my God.
And
they went up in attendance again this week.
That's what I was going to talk about. We'll talk about it more on Wednesday.
Right,
but,
buddy.
Yeah, the attendance figures look pretty encouraging. We'll see how they do during the NCAA tournament, see how that impacts the attendance.
Yeah, well, it'll be fun. And you know what? I mean, I didn't watch it. The ratings in TV, though, are down. We'll find out what they were this week. Last week, they were down.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, too. All right, we'll talk about that and a lot more on Wednesday. Mike, I love you.
Love you, Aldo. Take care, everybody.